This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
So anyway, I want to talk to you this morning real quick. I want to jump into a subject, and I've entitled this talk this morning just simply Lost. And I found that sometimes one word can really sum up our lives. I don't know, maybe you've been that before, where it's just one word resonates with you, or one word can describe you. In fact, they built a whole TV series years ago called Lost that became one of the most famous TV series ever. Just that one word has a way to compel us. Sometimes one word can make us ask questions, or one word can identify where we are in life. And that has nothing to do with my message this morning, except just to say that one word can challenge you. And so I'm excited to talk to you this morning about what God's laid on my heart, and I'm going to read it to you three passages of scripture from the same passage, but it's really just five verses out of the same passage, and it's all coming from Luke chapter 15. And Luke chapter 15 is probably one of the most beloved passages in the Bible. If you're new to church, you're new to faith, you're new to the Bible, it's one of the most beloved passages that we ever talk about. For those of us that have been in church for a long time and we're familiar with the Bible, we know that this particular chapter is a collection of three stories, of three parables that are all connected together, and they all seem to have a central common theme, and we're going to talk about that theme this morning. Jesus is telling these parables, and I want you to see as I read them this morning if you can identify the theme that Jesus is talking about. And maybe, I believe today, if you've been in church for a while and you've heard this scripture before, we're going to bring you to a whole new light of this parable. Luke chapter 15, verse 3, just a portion of it says, "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them." Okay, just a simple part of it. Six verses later, we go down and he starts into another parable. Luke 15, verse 9, he says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one." I don't know if you're seeing the theme come out in these particular parables. Then he goes down to the third story. Jesus is telling these parables back to back to back. There's no pause button. He is just moving forward. And he's on the third story, but it's the same theme. And he says this in Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.'" Now, you all know that the inheritance was supposed to be inherited when the father died. Like when your parents or your relatives pass on, many times they leave you what they have left, what they have saved up. And so, but this son was so wild, he literally could not even wait for his father to die. Now, how many of you know that's harsh? Don't go to your parents now and say, "Give me my inheritance," right? It probably won't work. But this is how harsh this guy is. And so I'm going to fast forward to the end of the story. The son, as we know, if you read this parable full through, the son ends up leaving. He takes the money, but he ends up coming back home, right? And he's broke. He has no money left. The father starts to celebrate. And look what Luke 15, 32, we see how the father saw his son. This is what it says. It says, "Let's celebrate and be glad. Because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This sermon this morning, this talk this morning, is going to give you the opportunity, guys, to confess something that you would most likely not share. Maybe you would be guarded. This sermon is going to allow you to say something. Normally, you'd be guarded and you wouldn't say it. You might think it, but you wouldn't say it. But because of the nature of our subject today, you can say it. You're allowed to say this to the person sitting next to you in the audience today. You're allowed to make this phrase. You're allowed to come clean this morning. You get a pass this morning to say something today that you might wanted to say at some point, maybe recently or maybe even this morning. If you've had kids or if you have kids, you have said this or you have thought this multiple times. Here it is. Feel free to tell your neighbor this morning. It'll be on the screen. I'm about to lose it. Come on, tell it to somebody. Right? I know you're about to just look at them and say, I'm about to lose it. You ever been there before? Come on. Like some of you, like, you know, you're in this room today and you said it with big eyes. You were like, you looked at your neighbor, you're like, I'm about to lose it, you know? That look that you've had before. Hear me today. We're gonna talk about this today because we need this. It's important this morning that I give you all three parts of the chapter of the parable that Jesus was talking about, because I don't think you can really understand some of the verses of the Bible. Maybe even better said, you can't really appreciate a verse unless you read it in its context. What comes before? What comes after? These are the things that help you put things in context. And here's the funny part of that. You probably can even say that about your life. You have to put things in context to really understand your life. You really can't appreciate life until you have taken your life into context. I remember years ago when my kids were younger, we were at Disney, you know, the happiest place on earth. Whoever said that doesn't have kids, right? We're at the happiest place on earth, and we need to leave. And at that point, if you've been there before, that's when your kids lose it, when you have to leave. And then it follows, like my kids, right? You never let us do anything. Literally what follows, you always, which in kid language, you always don't let us have fun. You don't let us have fun. And I'm sitting there thinking, what audacity do you have? Like, we are really like, never let you do anything? Never let you have any fun? I mean, I'm looking at them saying, look at my bank account. I said to them that day, look at the 20 pounds of weight I lost walking around in the heat all day long. I feel like what Pastor Matt would say, I'm wearing a wet sock walking around Florida. And we never? We said that, and then we do the thing. We said the thing that the go-to of every parent in this room, right? We looked at our kids. This is our go-to, and you know this, right? We said this phrase, there are kids in Africa. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Why is that always our go-to, right? There are kids in Africa. My mindset is simply this. When I look at them, I say, listen, I don't mean to infringe on your perspective, but could it be that you're taking your moment, you're taking this moment out of context? Sometimes the key to not losing it, sometimes the key to keeping it all together is reading your moment of frustration in the context of the moments of your favor when things are good. Like if we understand that all that we have, maybe what was taken from you at that one moment wouldn't seem so bad. If we took it in context that everything we have, that maybe when we don't have, it puts things in context. And so honestly, the way you keep it together when you feel like you're about to lose it is just making it through that moment. Just making it through that moment. Don't quit in that moment, because if you make it through the moment, you will be able to see the context. You'll be able to see the context. If you make it through the moment, you can read about how God brought you through. You can see it. Like, it's like a story, right? If you're into reading or listening to stories, like, you get into the middle, right? And it's always in the middle of the story that we find some tension. It's in the middle of the story that we find there are some challenges going on. Can I just encourage you, don't close the book then. Don't close the book in the middle, right? Because you're going to miss the best part. Right? Until you get to the end of your moment, when you get the revelation, it's when you're rescued, it's when you see that you have something to praise God about. It's not always in the middle that you see that you have something to praise God about, but I guarantee if you make it through the moment and you put it into context, you realize, I've got something to praise God about. Anytime you highlight a bad moment in your life, it could be something that you're living through, some of you are living through today, or maybe it's something that you have lived through many years ago. And when we highlight those bad moments, we're always led to feel like this, poor me. We're always led to feel like I've gotten the raw deal. You ever heard that? Like, I got the raw end of the stick on this thing. Or we get to that place as, you know, why can't things be better? What if you took that moment and you put it into context of everything that was done for you, everything that's been given to you, right? This is way better than self-help or positive thinking, right? And I'm an advocate for self-help. I'm an advocate for positive thinking, but hear me, there's a limit there. Positive thinking oftentimes says, you just overlook your moment. Positive thinking says, just get over it. Positive thinking says, just get over it, look over it, move through it. And this is way better. What I'm talking about is way better than I'm telling you to just overlook it. Because how many of you know there comes a point where yourself knows that you're lying to yourself? Right? You come to that point where you're like, you come to that point and it's working at the beginning, but at some point yourself says, nah, it's not getting better. You come to a point where yourself just says, let's be real about what you're going through here. You're not happy. But that's the positive mentality. Just get over it. The positive mentality says, this isn't happening to me. I don't believe it. I'm just zing, it's gone. The positive mentality says, I'm fine, right? But here's the reality this morning. You're not fine. You're not fine. When you look at your life in context, hear me this morning, it gives you an even better weapon. When you look at your life in context, you don't have to overlook your moments. You can understand your moments. And when I look at my moments in the middle, it doesn't make sense. But when I look at my moments after, I say, oh, I see what you did there, God. You can look at your moments, you can say, I see that you took that person out of my life for a reason. I can see that I went through that difficult season for a reason. It makes sense now, but had we overlooked it, had we allowed the positive thinking to come in, we wouldn't be able to appreciate it. And now that I've made it through, I can understand. I can see why I had to go through that. You could sit back when you've made it through and say, well, you were with me all along. I'm sure glad that I didn't close the book during that chapter. So glad I didn't close the book during that chapter, right? The context begins with understanding. And in this passage, right, the context is super, super important because Jesus is like the ultimate storyteller. Do you know that? Like, you know, every great storyteller always starts with setting the scene. Come on, you've been there before, the one who says, it was a dark, stormy night, right? Or the breeze willowed over the trees, and you set the scene. Setting the scene, and so he begins to set the scene that's the context to the story. And can I give you the context to the story this morning? The context to this story, if you've never heard this before, is this: home. The context to these parables is home. You might have missed it because I only gave you chunks of the scripture, of the parable that he was talking about, but we know that the context is home. Because when he talks about the sheep, he's talking about something that's been lost outside of the home. When he talks about the coin, he's talking about something that was lost in the home. When he talks about the son, he's talking about something that was lost far away from home. And so the context in this passage is so significant because it establishes the perspective of the story. Hear me this morning. When I was in, I loved it when we studied parables in Bible school. The thing we learned about parables is that parables are really cool because you can always put yourself in the position of any position of the story. You can be any character you want in the parable that Jesus is talking about. Like, you can be the sheep and read it through the perspective. I can be the sheep and I can read it through the perspective of the sheep like I'm bad, right? That's a good Christian joke. Come on now. You can put yourself in the perspective of the coin. You can put yourself in the perspective of the sun. But when we know that the context is the home, we understand that Jesus, his intended perspective in the parable, is not someone who is lost, but someone who has lost something. Not someone who's lost, but someone who has lost something. Get me this morning. That's what I want to talk to you about. Is someone who's lost something. Another thing that the context helps us understand is the definition of lost. Here's the definition of lost. Lost is not a location, but a separation. Loss is not a location, but a separation. You might say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, like the coin, for example, where was the coin lost? The coin was lost in the house. And some of you that's really smart this morning could argue with me and say, well, that the coin was never lost. It was just misplaced because it was in the house all along. Yet the coin was still lost. Why? Because it's not about location that determined that it was lost. What made it lost was its separation from the one that it belonged to. That's what made it lost. It was separated from the one that it belonged to. Separation is what makes a thing lost, not its location. And why is that important this morning? Because if you think that being lost is a location, then you will keep trying to point to or locate the source of your frustration. So you might point to a person. You might point to a person and locate them and say, you're the reason why I'm about to lose it. You've done it before, come on. You will point at your friends and you'll point at your spouse and you'll say, if you don't start blank, I'm gonna lose it. With your kids, right? I love you and I'm glad that God brought you in my life, but if you do that one more time, I'm gonna lose it. And maybe you will point to, maybe it gets to the point where you point to an employer that continues to bless you with overtime, all right? You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, if you make me stay one more hour here, I'm going to lose it. How many of you know the Christians, right? We have different ways of cursing. We get to that place where I'm going to lose it. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to pray a swarm of locusts on their house, right? Take them over. But hear me this morning, your problem is not a problem. When you understand that lost isn't a location, it's a separation, it helps you. If anything, you will give thanks to God for your problem because your problem just revealed the actual issue. That maybe, just maybe, you're separated. Which is not that you have a problem, it's that you become disconnected. You become separated from what you're supposed to be connected to. Now listen, this morning, I thought about this as I was putting this together and studying. I thought, we can do mass therapy this session this morning. You guys want a mass therapy this morning? I'm not going to hypnotize you, but here's a mass therapy session for you all this morning. I'm sorry about what you're going through. I'm sorry you feel a certain way about things. I'm sorry you see your life a certain way. And I'm sorry that some of you are about to lose it. But here's my question, my mass therapy for you this morning. How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with God? Because if you have a bad connection, your problem isn't the things in your life that are attacking you. Your problem is you're not connected. You're not connected. Because if you were connected, listen to me, hell can happen over your life, but your connection to the Master would hold it all together. When everything is going wrong, it's our connection to one another as a church. It's our connection to God that helps keep us together when crisis hits our life. There is confidence, there is peace when you know that you're connected. Years ago, I was a youth pastor and we took some students to what used to be Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. It's no longer there. But we took a group of students there to see the school, and in Missouri, they have this thing, believe me, you'll understand when you say Missouri, but they had this thing called barn swinging. And you could go, and they tie you literally to ropes, not bungees, ropes, and they throw you off a platform. Sounds weird, right? And they had this platform outside, literally, I mean, you're high as this roof, and you go up, and they want to harness you in, and then you just jump off. And at the very bottom is a goat. I'm not lying. There's a goat. And you swing down like you're going to hit this goat, but you just miss it. It's kind of weird. But they employed basically college kids to run the barn swinging. And I remember I was up there. Here I'm a youth pastor, and they harness you in. And I got this really smart, cocky college kid, like 18 years old. And here's what he says to me. Hey, I've done this. I can do it with my eyes closed. Watch. And he's trying to harness me in, closing his eyes. And I'm literally looking at him and saying, open your eyes. Open your eyes. I had to tell him several times. He was just trying to be cool, college kid, saying, I can harness you in. I know this so well. I can do it with my eyes closed. And I said, uh-uh. I'm connected to this thing. I don't want to kill the goat, right? So you open your eyes. Can I encourage you today? Open your eyes. What are you connected to? You think you can go through life with your eyes closed? You think you got this? I'm just telling you, when we disconnect, we become lost. When we disconnect, we become lost. Listen, this morning we call this the house of God, and I think that's great. I love the term, but I don't really come here because it's the house of God. I come here because this is my home church. This is my home. I come here because this is my church. And if you want to transition from just a house of God, which is just a place, to where this is my home, then you also have to be connected. You have to start to build some connections. Get connected to people. Get connected to serving. Get connected to worshiping and responding when we have those moments. Because connecting with God is what holds you together. And honestly, we could stop right now because hear me, here's what I believe. 9 out of 10 times, the reason you are going through things is because you've simply lost the connection. You simply lost the connection. And if you would just reestablish the connection, you would rediscover your peace. You would rediscover your purpose. If you would just reconnect, you would reestablish the ability to hold it all together when things are falling apart. But here's the reality real quick this morning. There are some things in life we can do, but then there are some things in life that only God can do. So I want to help you out. If you're lost something this morning, let me help you out, because the chances are whatever you've lost has fallen into one or three categories. And every one of these categories that I'm about to share with you real quickly are covered in this parable. The first category of lost you might have experienced is simply this: lost love. Lost love. You can write that down. How do I come to this conclusion? Lost love. The reason I say lost love is because the first parable is a story of a shepherd and a sheep. And the image of a shepherd and a sheep has always been a symbol of love. It's always a symbol of love. The shepherd loves his sheep. The shepherd would do anything for his sheep. And how many know the greatest shepherd of all time was Jesus Christ? And you know how I know that in this parable they're talking about Jesus? Because if you read the whole story, you would see at the end of the story that the shepherd literally finds the one sheep. He doesn't kick it. He doesn't spank it. You know what he does? He picks it up and he puts it on his shoulders. And he carries the sheep back to the herd. He carries it on his shoulder. He carries the smelly sheep, the bad acting sheep. I just wonder this morning if we know someone who carried something on his shoulder because he loved us so much. A God who didn't bring a sheep back home, he brought humanity home when he carried the cross on his shoulders to Calvary. Why did he do that? Not just to get you to heaven, right? Not that's part of it. That's not really it. You know why he did that? Because John 3:16 reminds us, because he loved you and me so much. The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is that of love. And so in this category, God is saying some of us have lost love. And here's what I want you to understand this morning. I'm not talking about relationships here. I'm not talking about a person that you've lost love with. I'm talking about you have lost. What I'm talking about is losing passion. Have you ever lost passion for something? Like something you're really excited about all of a sudden, and then you're not excited anymore. It's like it went away. What happened? I was so passionate, right? Like the gym. I was passionate, but it went away. How many know the gym is still there? The gym is still open. Not much has changed, except you aren't passionate about it anymore. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus starts this whole parable, that he starts this story this way. Because I think the first thing, hear me this morning, I think the first thing that falls off when our lives are falling apart is our passion. It's the first thing that wanes. Well, it's not doing it for me anymore. Church doesn't work anymore. It's gotten boring or whatever you want to categorize it. When passion goes, then everything else follows. Before you leave a job, you fell out of love with that job. Before you dropped out of college, you fell out of love with what you were studying. Before you leave your spouse, you stopped loving your spouse. Before you checked out on the things of God, your passion started shifting. If I could say this, if it could be said that if you want to save your career, if you want to save your growth, if you want to save your relationship, hear me this morning. We've got to stop focusing so much on that and start protecting our passion. Because if you protect what you're passionate about, then you'll be able to stick with it, what you've been holding on to for the whole time. Protect your passion. Protect is the right word here this morning, because passion, just like the sheep, guess what? Passion wanders. Just like sheep. Sheep, they wander. And once you understand that passion wanders, and it's not a bad thing, it's natural, it will keep you when you shake from the shame of your apathy. Here's what I mean by that. A sheep, when it gets lost, right, it doesn't wake up in the morning. The sheep doesn't wake up in the morning and think, it's a good day to get lost. The sheep doesn't wake up in the morning and says, you know, I've been thinking about it. I'm just really not feeling this scene here anymore. I think I'm going to leave the pen. The sheep doesn't get up and says, you know, I don't like that shepherd. It's always feeding me. It's always telling me where to go, and I'll go where I want to go, right? Tell me what to do, huh? The sheep doesn't do that. You know what the sheep did? You know what the sheep did in this story? You know why, how the sheep got lost? He was just being a sheep. He was just being a sheep. He woke up that morning and he saw grass, and he said, yum. And he moved from one patch to the next patch and to the next patch and to the next patch. And he probably finally looked up and said, I'm lost. Where am I? This wasn't the plan. I was just chasing grass. I used to feel bad, guys, when I woke up in the morning and I didn't feel like praying. I'm just speaking to myself. When I woke up in the morning, I just didn't feel like praying. And I know some of you in the room right now, you're like, wait a minute, pastor, struggle with that too? Like, really? I mean, you probably thought I woke up with like, Jesus, you know, hands raised, screaming praises to the Lord, right? Right? Some of you, most of you guys wake up in the morning, the first thing you say is good morning, right? But not pastors. No. We just go right in. That's what pastors do. Some of you probably think I got Hillsong on my alarm clock, right? You know, worship songs. No, not at all. And I used to feel guilty. I used to feel guilty when I would sitting in my car for an extra 5 or 10 minutes after I just drove home from work, because I knew what was on the other side of the door. And I just stood there for 5 or 10 minutes. I used to feel guilty until I realized that I'm not a horrible pastor. I'm not a horrible dad. I'm not a horrible person. I'm just human. I'm not bad. I'm just busy. I'm not bad. I'm just busy. And you know how we lose passion sometimes? We're just chasing grass. We're just chasing grass, right? We're just trying to survive, and we're so busy trying to live that sometimes passion just gets lost. Can I encourage you this morning? Let's stop blaming the devil for losing our passion. Let's stop blaming God for losing our passion. You know why we start losing our passion? Because of life, period. Because of life, period. And when we understand that, we can stop wasting time feeling guilty, and we can start investing time trying to figure out where you want to go with God. It frees you when you understand it. I'm not proud of the way I feel, but I'm going to move forward because I understand it's natural. And so once you realize that you're not where you want to be, you have to protect your passion. You got to protect it. How? You know how you say, man, this is simple, but we need to hear it. You know how we protect our passions? We set up boundaries. We set up boundaries. Like a shepherd, when a shepherd wants to keep the sheep in, what do? They set up fences. Can I encourage us CLC people, check your fences. Every Saturday night, you know what? I guard it. I have a fence around my life. Every Saturday night, right, my family will tell you, I'm home. I don't set anything on my calendars. I'm in my home office. I am studying. I am reviewing. I am reflecting. Because when I'm up here, I want to be passionate about what I'm talking about. I set up boundaries. I've got to protect my passion. You have to protect your family. Build fences. You have to protect your passion for your spouse. Build boundaries. You have to protect your passion for God. Build boundaries. And here's what I wrote about boundaries, just so you know. Building boundaries will cost you. My wife's desire right now is to have a fence in our backyard. And I said, it costs too much. Imagine. Pretend there's a fence there. Building boundaries will cost you. And here this morning, here's what it'll cost you. You ready? It will cost you misunderstanding. People will often misunderstand your boundaries. They'll think that you're arrogant. They'll see your boundaries as arrogant. They'll see your boundaries as prideful. They'll see your boundaries as selfishness. They'll see your boundaries as lack of caring. They'll see your boundaries as irrelevant. But I would just say to you, men, do you want to protect your passion for Jesus? Put a boundary. Can I just be practical? If you want to protect your passion for Jesus, can I encourage you to put a boundary around Sunday? Be in church. You want your kids to follow Jesus? Put a boundary around their friends. Put a boundary around all the other extracurricular stuff and get them connected to church. Put a boundary around them. I'm just saying, put a boundary around whatever it is that you want to protect. Whatever passion you want to keep sacred and holy, put a boundary around it and protect it. And some of you might say, well, what if I've already lost my passion? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. I have an example for that this morning, right? I have these candles, right, that I'll light for you, and if I can make it work in the sake of time, but I have this candle. Oh, here we go. It's gonna smell really good in here in a minute. Make sure it lit. Yeah, so I have this candle, right? So as an example, right? A lot of people, their passion is like this flame in this candle, right? Life happens, and when it does, guess what happens? It just blows out. The passion is gone. And so maybe some of you come to church today and you say, the whole point of protecting your passion, thank you, Pastor. That's a great story, but that would have been helpful for me a month ago. I've already lost my passion. That'd have been good a year ago, 2 weeks ago. Honestly, I don't have the passion to even be here today, but I'm here. But what if you had this one right here? I don't know if you've ever seen one of these before, but what is on this cupcake is a trick candle. I'm not lying. I'll prove it. And I didn't even know what a trick candle was until my 13th birthday, when puberty was setting in. And we as Christians, right, we don't make birthday wishes, we make birthday prayers. And at 13 years old, I'm like, Lord, I'm praying for a girlfriend. That's my birthday prayer. Give me a girlfriend. And I blow it. And then all of a sudden, oh, I know, right? This worked backstage. Is it really smoky in here? Sorry. It's coming. You're a liar. So it worked backstage. Anyway, it does really a trick candle. But it kept coming back as I'm blowing it out. And I'm like, God wants me to be single my whole life, you know. It's not working for me, you know. But here's the reality. I was thinking last night, I saw this visual, and I started thinking about the vision. I'm like, I wanted to preach this to you. I wanted to preach this trick candle this way. The devil's going to blow you out, but God will ignite you. I wanted to pray, you know what? The people around you are going to blow you out, but God will reignite you. I mean, I wanted to get my T.D. Jakes on, right? And I'll just be like, ah. But then I realized something about this candle. There's a reason why this candle does what it does. It makes a good illustration, but makes a terrible model for your life. Terrible model. The reason why this candle works is because this candle has a strip of magnesium in it. And magnesium has a lower ignition temperature than the wick and the wax that's on the candle. And so when the candle blows out, the ember actually reignites. I lied. It reignites the candle. It reignites it, makes it come back. And I wish at times, here's what I've realized, what God was trying to show me is that you aren't built like that. You know that? You aren't built like that. I wish I could just bounce back from everything I go through, right? I wish that when I got knocked down, I could just get back up and just set myself back on fire and everything was great. But how many know it doesn't happen like that? You know why? Because we aren't made with magnesium. It's not our nature to be, as human beings, to sustain our passion. Did you know that? We don't naturally hold on to our passion. You know what we naturally do? Give up. We naturally give up, right? I dare say it this way, that God made us that way. Like, why would God make us flimsy? Why would he just make us bounce pop people? Here's the reality, because God knows. I can't make you from magnesium, because if you had made you from magnesium, you'd only need one match. You'd only need one match to light the candle. That's it. And so your dependency on God would almost be obsolete, right? If you were made of magnesium, you would only need me for one point in your life. That's all you would need. And once I got you through what it is that you need to get through, you wouldn't need me anymore. But I'm going to build you an A that when life comes and you're blown out, when life comes and it happens to me, you and I can quote Psalms 51:12. Oh Lord, come on, restore your passion. Oh Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And he lights you over again. Come on. God built you in a way where every time your passion burns out, you could come back to him and say, oh God, oh Father, would you light me with passion again? You could come back to him and say, I need your fire, God. I need your spirit inside me. I need your power. Would you light me again? I can't do it by myself. I need you active, fired in my life, God. I've burned out. Jesus, would you light me again? I need you. And every time we cry out, guess what he does? He lights us again. He gives us that passion again. I remember 120 people sitting in an upper room in the book of Acts, right? About to give up until the Spirit of the God came upon them and it descended upon them like tongues of fire. Before you give up, folks in the room, here's what I want to give you. I'm going to ignite you again. Listen, losing passion for your marriage in the room today, bring it to the Lord. God, reignite my passion. You're in the room today, you're losing passion for the things of God. Bring it to the Lord and say, God, reignite my passion for you again. Real quickly this morning, there's a second story. He talks about this lost coin, right? And this is a really significant part of the story, the lost coin and the coin, because we can't infer too much because we don't have all the context or the details of the story. But there are a few details that they do paint a bigger picture of what's happening here. But here's, for example, the woman lost the coin, right? And in order to lose the coin, she had to be aware to the fact that she didn't have all the coins. And in order to be aware to the fact that she didn't have all the coins, she must have been counting the coins. And if she's counting the coins, now give me some lattery. Here's where I make a theological leap, okay? But if she's counting the coins, she must have been getting ready to buy something. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm ready to buy something, the first thing I do is check my account, right? I really want something. Let me check real quick. Nope, can't have it. Here's my theory. She's been saving for something, and she's about to use the money she has. And when she's about to leave, she realizes she has one less than she is supposed to have. I don't know. Have you ever been saving for something, and then some type of unplanned expense comes up? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. The AC goes out. The car breaks down, right? The furnace breaks. The brakes go out in your car, and you're like, do I really need brakes? Like, is it really that important? Can't I just Flintstone this thing? I don't have the money for it. It's interesting to me because she was working towards something, and all of a sudden, guess what? She has a setback. I think the other category that people who are losing it fall into is the category of losing ground. Like you've been working towards something and all of a sudden you feel yourself going backwards. Like you've been tithing, you've been serving, you've been giving, you've been attending, you've been being nice to people. You've had a positive attitude, and then guess what? The big bill comes. Someone cuts you off in traffic. A relationship sours. Someone doesn't smile at you at the right time. You receive bad news, and what happens? I thought we were here. I thought I was here, and actually, I'm way back here. Lord, what's happening to me? What's going on in my life? Why am I feeling this way? Why is this happening to me? I'm supposed to be here and I feel like here. And whatever it may be for you in this room this morning, many times we think we're moving here, but we're back there. What happened? I thought I'd been doing so good. I just wonder if anyone here ever feels like you're just going backwards. Like you're just like, why can't we finally move forward? And if that's you, let me just tell you two quick things. Number one, I felt bad for this lady until I read what she did. Look at this, Luke 15:8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a candle, sweep the house, and search diligently until she finds it? Hear me some more. I felt bad for this lady until I realized she was just a messy woman. Like she just didn't keep her house clean. Catch this. I lost it because my house was a mess. But when I cleaned it up and got it organized, I found it. Let me just say, let me help somebody. Maybe for you in this morning, it's just simply an issue of prioritizing what matters in your life. You can't do all things. Can I encourage you, simple as it may be, prioritize Jesus and everything else will fall into place. Prioritize Jesus and everything else will fall into place. Second thing is this, it says that she searched carefully. The King James says that she searched diligently. In other words, guess what? She didn't give up. She searched and she didn't give up. You know why she searched and you know why she didn't give up? Because she knew that the coin was in the house. Come on, the coin was in the house. I remember one time we lost the TV remote. How many know remotes, they make them today where you can lose them anywhere, right? They're just like, can they just make them huge again, right? You can lose anywhere. We lost the remote and I asked my son Braden to help me find it and he wasn't being a great helper. And so I did what every parent does. I lied to him like a good parent does, right? And I said, if you don't find that remote, we're never going to watch TV again, ever again. Because that remote has a special connection to that TV, son, and it can only work with each other. We need the remote. And the reality is, he got upset. And then I said to him, but don't worry, because the TV remote can do a lot of things, right? It can play movies. It can change the channel. It can turn up the volume. But there's one thing that this remote cannot do. It can't walk. It can't walk. And he smirked because he knew where I was going. He said, you're saying it's somewhere in the house. I said, yeah. And he started getting on his knees, looking under cushions, finding toys he lost a year ago, popcorn that he ate. And it was like a revelation, right? That just because it wasn't in his hand doesn't mean it wasn't in his house. Just because it wasn't hand wasn't doesn't mean it wasn't in his house. You may be losing ground, but can I encourage you this morning? It's not gone. You may be losing ground, but it's not gone. I'm going backwards, but can I just encourage you? It's not over. You're here. You may feel like I'm not the same person. Yeah, but if you hold on, listen to me. If you look for it, I'm telling you, some of us need to, maybe it's under your failures. You just got to look under your failures. Maybe it's under your faults. You just got to look under your faults. Hey, there it is. What I've been looking for. Maybe it's under your doubts. You have a lot of doubts. And if you just look under your doubts, you'll find what it is you're looking for. Maybe it's under your setback. what has set you back. Maybe it's just there and you just haven't looked for it. You haven't found it. It's there all along. But hear me this morning, church. Are you willing to diligently search for God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to search for it? Are you willing to look through all of your mess to find God and his plans for your life? It's somewhere in the house. It's there. God has not left. Hear me this morning. God is not absent. He is not giving up on us. It's in the house. We just got to find it. Are you willing to search for him passionately, diligently, willing to search after all that God has for you? Because it's somewhere in the house. You may not be experiencing the promise, but can I say this to you? You do have a promise. You may not experience the promise, but you do have a promise. I don't know how long it's going to take, but you do have a promise. Will you search for it? Will you passionately serve God in the midst of it all? Even when it feels like you're going backwards, will you still passionately serve God? Don't give up because you aren't holding on what God said you should be holding right now. You just have to keep turning over every cushion. You have to be diligent in your pursuit of God. And I believe this with all my heart, you will find him. You will find his plans and you will find his purpose for your life. The last really quick story, I'm done. The last quick story that he talks about, what if you've already given up? It's kind of what this story illustrates. What if I've already given up? Well, this third story really helps us because this third story is not a story of a lost son. We talk about that a lot and absolutely it correlates. But the reality is sometimes you look at this is not a story of a lost son. The son was a bad dude and he was gone for many years. In fact, they tell us that in English law, if you're gone for 7 years, you are presumed dead. But there's no such law in the Hebrew times. But you got to imagine that the son was gone for a long time. Because look what the father says in the scripture. Luke 15:32. Remember, he says, this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. In the father's mind, his son wasn't just lost. He was dead. He was dead. Because some of us, in this last category of loss, we've come to the point where, you know what, life and faith is just a lost cause. Just a lost cause. Some things, how many of you have ever been there in your place, but some things are so lost that the word lost ceases to be an adequate adjective. Like you don't even have a word for it. It's so lost, it's dead. Maybe you got a child in here, mom and dad, and it's so lost, it's dead. Maybe you have a spouse like that who's just so lost, it seems dead. Maybe you've got a friend in your life, a relative, a family member that's like that. Maybe you've got a dream or a hope that's just so lost, it seems dead. And I'm just saying, if there's something in your life that's been gone for so long that you don't even think it's alive anymore. Some of you, your peace and your joy and your hope and your forgiveness. Some of you, God's presence and power has been lost for so long that it just seems like it's dead. And if that's you, real quickly this morning, I want to help you. I love the Father because you know what the Father did? When the Son was gone, he thought he was dead. But you know what he did even though he thought he was dead? The Bible tells us that he stood at the window, that he stood at the porch and waited for his son to come home. Every day, stood at the window, stood at the porch, he made that trek and he stood there waiting, even though he thought his son was dead, he waited there for him to come home. And I'm so glad he did because we know that the son in the story was skittish. And here's what I think about sometimes when I think about the son. What if the son had come home? What if he had been making his journey back home? He's halfway there and he sees the house. And maybe he sees the house and he gets overwhelmed with guilt. He gets overwhelmed with shame. And he says, no, I'm turning back. But the Bible says that the father saw him halfway and ran out to meet him before he could turn back. And the father runs out halfway and he basically puts his arm around and says, no, you're coming home. You're coming home. I don't know if you're catching this morning. It wasn't just the son that was part of the coming home story. It was the father's faith that made space for that promise to be fulfilled. So here's my question to us. I know we have to have faith to look for, right? I know we have to have faith to look for. That's what the first two parables are all about, right? The sheep and the coin, is that's what they were about. They're about the faith to look for. But my last question to you this morning is, do you have the faith to wait for? Do you in this room have the faith to wait for it? Do you have that faith that says, I'm willing to wait, God, for what you have for us and for me? Because here's the crazy thing about this last story. It is out of our control. The sheep had no choice, right? If I want it back, I search for it, I bring it back. The coin had no choice. If I want the coin back, I search for it, I bring it back. But the boy had a choice. When you're in a situation, when you're losing something and the thing that you lost is out of your control, you've got no option but to have the faith to wait for. You can't take it in your own hands. You can't take matters in your... You have to have the faith to wait for. And I wonder, if you're here today, I wonder if we as a church can muster that faith to wait for. Not to give up, not to quit, but to wait for. Someone who needs to hear something from God but hasn't gotten it yet. You know, I need God to speak to me and you haven't gotten it yet. Can you still worship? Can you still believe? Can you still wait for it? For some of you in here, like you need blessing, you need provision in your life, but it hasn't happened yet. Can you still give? Can you still believe? Can you still wait for? Some of you need a healing physically. Some of you need a healing mentally in your mind, but it hasn't happened yet. Can you still wait for? Can you still wait for? The voice in your head will tell you, stop. Says, get away from that window. The voice in your head will say, get away from that porch. Don't go out and wait for that anymore. It's not worth it. The miracle is dead. You're never going to get it. You're never coming home. Can you say, nah, I'm still waiting for it. I'm going to have the faith to walk out and wait for all that God has for you. Would you say, you know, you ought to give up on God, is what the voices in your head would say? Or do you have the faith to say, no, 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 I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for what God has for my life. Do you have the faith to stay right here every day? Every day. Because you know. Do you have the moment to wake up every day? Do you have the faith? Because you know that any moment, guess what? My promise could be coming right around the corner. And when your promise comes right around the corner, when God wants to do something in your life, when he comes, will you be there waiting for it? Will you be there saying, God, I accept it. It's been tough. It's been difficult. But I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting for it. Boy, and when you wait for it, and when that blessing, when that finally comes, all the things that you will experience, the context of looking back and saying, really, God was with me all along. God really did have plans for my life. Guys, listen, I close with this. It all comes back to connection. Are we as a church, you as a person, an individual, are you willing to stay connected? Are you willing to wait for it, even when it feels like it's never coming? Every day that father came out, he knew, maybe I know my son might be dead, but I have the faith to wait. I have the faith to wait. Will you meet God halfway and say, God, listen, I'll wait for you. No matter what I go through and what I experience, I will wait for you. Lord, right now, I just pray in this room, God, that you would help us to have the faith to wait for. Many of us in this room, man, we have needs that are crucial now. Decisions that are crucial now. Lord, things that we need in our life that are crucial now. But Lord, do we have the faith to say, in the midst of it, I will still believe. In the midst of my waiting, I will still worship you, God. In the midst of my waiting, I will still serve you. In the midst of my waiting, I will believe in you. In the midst of my waiting, I will still follow you and fervently, diligently search after you. Because I know that in the midst of my waiting, the promises of God will reveal themselves to us. So I pray that over your people today, God, give us the strength. Give us the passion to diligently wait for all that you have for us. God, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Lord, in these last days, I know you're going to pour out your Spirit. I know that we'll dream dreams and we'll see visions, Lord Father, because you are not done yet. You are not done yet. And don't let us be a church that's quit. Don't let us be a church that's satisfied with the status quo, but let us be a church that is waiting for, that's waiting for the glory of the Lord to fall upon us, the glory of the Lord to show himself true, that, Lord, we might be able to give you all the glory, all the praise that is worthy of your name. Lord, that we'd be able to get sacrificed, be able to fall on our knees and say, God, thank you for the context that you bring into my life. Thank you for the context to help me understand, God, that you are not abandoned me. You are not absent, but you are ever present walking with us. We may feel lost, God, but we're not lost. The shepherd is with us. Are we willing to wait for him? Are you willing to wait for him? So, Lord, I pray you move in this place. There's people here who have needs, and we understand that, God. There's some people who may be just totally lost from you. There's some people who just feel lost. There's some people who have needs that are not being met. And so, God, I just pray as we begin to worship you in a moment, that, God, we would feel the freedom that in the midst of waiting, in the midst of feeling overwhelmed and lost, we can still worship you. We can still believe in you. We can still lift your name up because, God, you are worthy of it all in this place. So give us the courage this morning as we take a moment to just worship our King. And we wait for you right now in the name of Jesus. We wait for you. Lord, we worship you.
Put a new song in my mouth. Gave me something to sing about. Set my feet up.
Say that right now, that God has come for you time and time and time again. Can you just give your hand, raise your hand right now and say, he's come for you. Somebody in this room needs to see that hand, right? Somebody needs to see that God has come through for somebody in this room time and time again, right? And he will continue to come through for you time and time and time again. The question is, are you willing to wait for it? Are you willing to wait for it today, church? Amen. Will you bow your heads with me real quick this morning? If you're here today, say, Pastor Heath, I've lost my passion. I'm literally lost. And I need God. I need God in my life. I'm at a place where I'm just feel lost. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's natural to get lost. But you need to be found. You need Jesus to come in and just reside in your life, to take over, to help you wait for all that he has for you. your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We're not going to call you forward. We're not going to embarrass you anyway. But right where you're sitting, I want to pray for you. And if that's you this morning, say, listen, I want to be found. I want to be found by Jesus. If that's you, just put your hand up right quick and put it down. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else real quick? Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, we worship you. Come on. So, Lord, we just come to you right now. I pray for those who raise their hands, Lord. Just say, I just feel lost. Even if they didn't raise their hand, they still feel that way. God, you are the best at finding us. So, God, I pray you'll find them this morning. Lord, all we got to do is say, come into my life, come into my heart. I ask you, God, to come and live with me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. It's a simple prayer. Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I just want to pray this last prayer for anybody in this room who's waiting for it. You're waiting for it. You've been waiting. The ones in the room who maybe feel like your passion is gone or it's waning. Can I just pray the Holy Spirit would come upon you? We refresh you and renew you. Don't give up. Lord, help us not to give up, but to be fervent, to be diligent, to search for you, to live for you, to give you first everything. So, Lord, we love you today. We honor you for that. Pray your blessing, those who need a touch from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you take a seat just one moment? I'm going to... I'll literally take 2 seconds of your time, 2 minutes, and then I'll pray a prayer. But I appreciate you giving us a little extra time this morning with communion and our baby dedication. So apologize, we're a little getting you out late. But I just want, one thing we want to do, we want to take an offering. We come to church to take offerings, right? What better way? I didn't intentionally save the offering for last, but it just happened that way. So, hey, good. So if you like the preaching, give. If you don't like it, give, all right? But we want to take an offering this morning, and we're going to do that real quick, and then I'll pray a prayer blessing over you, and you can go enjoy the rest of the day. But can I just encourage you, first let me just say thank you. So many of you have been so faithful in your giving. You continue to do that, and you continue to bless us. But I just encourage you, would you continue to, the summer's been a little lean for us as a church, and we understand that. People are gone and traveling, and so just appreciate that. I will say this, we start tomorrow. They start tearing our roof off on the back end, and getting that work done. We have not even met our goal for that, the cost of that. And so if the Lord lays it on your heart to continue to give toward that project, we'd appreciate that. And so there's so many things that we're doing, and we're excited for the fall, and it comes together. And again, if you're new here today, just understand that giving is part of worship. And so we extend that. We don't apologize for it because we know that's what God would have for us. And so I want to pray over the offering this morning. And as they give, I'll ask those guys to sing one more chorus, and then I'll pray a blessing, and we'll let you go. Lord, just pray blessings upon this offering today, oh Jesus, and we just ask, God, that we love the church. We love your church. God, I'm personally overwhelmed with love for this church, for the people, for all that you're doing for us. I pray, God, that truly people walk out of here just wanting more from you, God, because you have more to give. So I pray you honor our faithfulness as we continue to worship you in our giving this morning, Lord Jesus. May it truly be a reminder, God, of all that you've done for us. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. As the offerings go, let Pastor Brenton lead us one more time in this chorus.
Put a new song in my mouth. Gave me something to sing about. Set my feet upon the rock. I'm standing on your goodness, God. You put a new song in my mouth. You gave me something to sing about. Set my I
prayer on Wednesday nights. We have been starting to pray. If you need prayer, we're going to praying, laying hands, praying on people. If you need prayer, come to Wednesday night. And then we have our membership and baptism sign up. And then one last thing, if you're visiting, this is your first time or first time in a long time, we have a free gift in our welcome center. We'd love to meet you, we have brand new free gifts. So you have to go by and check them out because they are cool. All right. So, but anyway, just want to just make that announcement to you. So Lord, I pray blessings upon your people today. God, may your face shine upon us. Lord, may you watch over us and keep us. May you protect us at all things. Lord, I pray that you would prosper your people today. That, Lord, if there are needs in this room, you know them. But you know them before we even ask. So Lord, I pray you'll meet them. I pray that, God, you would reveal yourself to us in this room. That this week would be a phenomenal week. That we could come back to this place next Sunday proclaiming all that you did for us this last week. And so, God, we do love you today. I pray you'll just give us a great rest of the Sunday, hanging out, being with family and friends, and just being in your presence. So, Lord, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' powerful name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.
This is the Christian Life Center Weekly Podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.